Thank you, Dwayne, and thank all of you that are here this morning. It is a wonderful day, and it may be getting a little bit cool in here. I don't know if we need to modify that back there. Henry, you are at liberty to do that. Some were hot when they came in this morning, and some then got a little bit cool. But anyway, we're glad you're here this morning, and I hope you'll not let the atmospheric conditions destroy you either way. You know, this week is Valentine, and it's always that exciting time when people think about showing their love one for another. I'm reminded of what our Savior said in the book of Matthew 22 and 37. Actually, what he said was in response to a young man who came to him inquisitive about the first commandment with promise. In other words, what is the most important commandment of all time? And probably if I were to ask you that question this morning, you would have a multiplicity of answers. But the answer that Jesus gave was this one, that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Everything. So I guess you could safely say that love is really all that matters. For Christ went on to say, for on this one command hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything that was written under the Old Testament was written on the basis of love. But then he gave a second command. It was very similar to the first. And Jesus said that you should love your neighbor even as yourself. And we know that God wants us to love him supremely. The song we were singing just a moment ago, God is Love, is such a powerful song, isn't it? It reminds us that our God really is a God of love. If you could take a composite of all the things that really describe God, maybe like God's peace, that God's protection, the fact that God does all these wonderful things for us, you could sum it up and say, because God is love. And John wrote that many years ago, just those three words, God is love, and love is all that matters. So much is said in the Word of God about the subject of love. And, in the Old Testament, we read a lot about the law and the prophets, but in the New Testament, we read a lot about love. It was the superlative commandment of our Father who is in heaven. In the book of Proverbs 10 and verse 12, Solomon said, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. It would be wonderful if we could learn to do that and to practice it, certainly in our world today. And I appreciated Clint's prayer a moment ago. In James 5 and 20, James says, let him know that he which covereth the sinner from the error of his way, he converts him, he shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. James was essentially saying that we ought to be a people that love one another to the point that we could forgive one another and go on with our life. A friend is one who loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Isn't that so true? But isn't it wonderful, and aren't we thankful today, that a real friend is one who loves you all the time? Love is such a great thing. Several years ago, someone sang a song entitled, Love Makes the World Go Round, and it does, I think. If Christ said that it's the first commandment, then obviously it has to be extremely important. Now, Jesus really gets down to where the rubber meets the road, so to say, in the 13th chapter of the book of John and verse 35. He says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I think one of the great things we all need to learn, and that is to love. And we should learn to love one another as God loved us. Now, that's what John would later write, that we love one another as God has loved us. That is, God loved us in spite of what we have done and how we have lived our lives. That is one of the most amazing things of all time, isn't it? But in the book of Romans 5 and verse 8, the Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for us because of our worthiness. He didn't die for us because we were so great and marvelous, but He died for us because we were sinners in need of redemption. He died for us because we were lost and without hope, and He came into the world to give hope to fallen man. Love, as someone has said, is a verb, and without action, it's just merely a word. And I'm afraid sometimes we flippantly use that word love. We say to each other, you know, and how we love everything. People love animate objects. They love inanimate objects. You know, people talk about how they love their car, how they love their house, how they love their job, how they love their church. We could go on and on to describe the way that people use that word. Now, we know that the word love in the Bible means different things to different people. We know that the kind of love that God has for us is what we often refer to as an agape love. That's a Greek word, and it just simply means that God loves us even with our warts, even with our freckles, even with our faults. I mean, He loves us anyway, and He does. And how thankful we really are that He does. But that's the way that we should love each other, with an agape love. There's another love that's called the phileo love, and that describes, Philadelphia was named after that. You know, they often refer to Philadelphia as a city of love. I don't know that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to recognize that tonight, however, at the Super Bowl. But I know one thing, that we are to love one another. We are to love God, and we are to love one another. For that's what Christ said, wasn't it, when He said that all that really matters. Now, a lot of people will take that and run with it and say, well, you're just totally negating believing in God and repenting of sin and being baptized for the remission of sin. No, I'm not negating that at all. What I'm telling you is if you really love God, you will repent. You will believe in God. You will be baptized. You will be faithful unto God. For God is love. In Matthew 22, again, I want to read this. The young man asked the question. He said, what is the great commandment in the law? Now, he was asking about the law. He wasn't really so concerned about love, and that really wasn't what he was looking for. But Jesus said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. You know, one of the ways that we demonstrate our love for each other is to pledge our love from the heart. We say to one another, I love you with all of my heart, because the heart is the seat of affection. You know, when you start talking about Valentine, have you ever noticed all the hearts that you see at Valentine? You know, a lot of times people think, well, that was just a design they came up with. No, it really originated with God. When he said that we're to love God with all of our heart. And so anyway, consequently, everybody that wants to celebrate Valentine's buys cards with hearts on it, or something is said about the heart and the Valentine. And by the way, if you haven't got your Valentine a card yet, you better be sure and do that. But anyway, you're to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second likened to it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, a lot of times we have to spend a little time trying to understand what certain words really mean. When I think of love, it is defined by the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and following. He said that love is patient, that love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud or arrogant, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Now, how many of you can truthfully say this morning that you measure up to this kind of love? I don't know that we could do that, could we? Because there are times when we are impatient. There are times when we get angry. There are times when we boast. There are times when we are self-seeking. One of the big questions that people ask is this one. How do you show love? How do you show? I mean, it could be any number of ways, I suppose. And who do you show it to? And I want to talk to you over the next few minutes a little bit about who we show it to. We show it, first of all, the hurting. You know, we have a lot of people in our world that hurt today, and they hurt for various reasons. Maybe they hurt because they lost a loved one in death, or maybe they hurt because of perhaps some kind of medical diagnosis. Maybe they hurt because of a divorce. Maybe they hurt for some other reason, but they are hurting. And Jesus told a beautiful story one time. It's the story of the Good Samaritan found in Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37. And it really is one of the greatest depictions of love, I think, that is given in the Bible. And Jesus answering and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, I will tell you this. You remember that massacre where they took a bunch of captives, people of Gaza did? And this man was going down that same road, believe it or not. And he was apprehended. And they stripped him of his raiment, they wounded him, and they departed and just left him to die right out there in the desert area. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that same place, he came over and looked at him, saw him where he was, but he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The man had been hurting. He had been beaten and robbed and left for dead. And the priest and the Levite showed no concern at all. The ones that you would think would be compassionate and loving and reaching out did nothing. But the Bible says this certain Samaritan, when he saw him, even though he wasn't a Jew, he was a Samaritan. He saw a man hurting and he wanted to help him. And that's what God does for us. For the Bible says that when he went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast and brought him into the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And he says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? Who do you really think was the victor in all of this? And he said, the one who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. You know, something this week when I was studying this passage, I got to realize there was something in this story that perhaps I'd never seen before. This man, this good Samaritan, must have spent the night, the entire night, with this man who had been beaten and robbed. He stayed there with him all night because it looked as though he might die. How many times are we willing to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bedside of someone who is hurting? Or how many times even during the day do we go to the bedside of those who hurt? That's what love actually is. Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. Hope is a thing that hurting hearts actually need. So what does it mean to love your neighbor? Do nothing out of selfish ambitions or conceit, but humility. Count others more significant than yourselves. Paul writes in the book of Philippians 2 and verse 3, put others first. How many do that? No, very few people do it. We always talk about how much we love one another, and I'm afraid with a lot of folks it's talk, 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 not walk, walk, walk. For the entire law, Jesus says, is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5 and verse 14. And you know what? This is love. That's what love really is. We are to love not only the hurting, but we are to love the brethren. You and I are brethren. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And because we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to love one another. We're to reach out to each other. We're to weep with those that weep. We're to rejoice with those that rejoice. Because we be brethren. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, Paul says, be devoted to one another, as he says this to the brethren. He says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Listen to it. Be devoted in love. You know, we devote ourselves to a lot of things in life. We devote ourselves to our job. We devote ourselves to our mate, our children, our parents. We devote ourselves perhaps to the church in some regard or in some way. But how many of us are willing to put someone else before ourselves? I like it when I hear people say, boy, I just love my church. You know, isn't that wonderful to hear? That's music to the preacher's ears, I can tell you the truth. We are to love one another, Jesus said, as I loved you. We are to serve one another, according to Galatians 5 and verse 13. Serving one another. We are to abound in love. You know what it means to abound in something? It means that you continue to do it. You don't just do it one time and then it's over and done, but you do it constantly. You are abounding in love one for another. And when you do it, this is love. It is love. Who do you love? Those who let you down. You ever had anybody let you down? We probably have all been there as well. People with whom you were disappointed in life. Jesus certainly was one who encountered such. For in the 13th chapter of the book of John in verse 1, it was just before the Passover festival or the feast. And Jesus knew, the Bible says in this verse, that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go back to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You and I are to love one another until the end. There is never a time when we can say, well, we don't have to love them anymore. No, we continue to love them. We are brethren. And sometimes brethren let one another down. Some people need a shock collar, and I need the remote. Have you ever felt like that with certain folks? You'd like to have that remote. But you know what? That's not love. Love says, I am willing to do what God has asked me to do. And you can't turn back the time, folks. You can't change the past. If somebody lets you down, get over it. Go on. Life is still worth living. Sometimes we have to bend over backward to make relationships work. You ever bend over backward? Sometimes people say, well, I'm just not going to do that. Are you? Is that the attitude you take? I can't forgive him. I can't forgive her. Can't you? You want God to forgive you? If you want God to forgive you, you have to be loving enough to actually forgive others as well. Too often, we do have to bend over backward to please the brethren. But it shouldn't be that way, should it? No. This is the way it should be. Shaking hands, loving each other, and going on. You see, the heart of love will do whatever it takes in life. Sometimes you just have to go at it at a little bit different way, like this gentleman here. I'm not sure that I want to be climbing walls, but I know one thing for sure, that sometimes we have to approach certain things in different ways, and sometimes we don't approach situations with love. it's there that you're trying to tell me what to do. You know, no, it's not that. Let's approach one another with the spirit of love, even people that let us down. And if they let you down, just keep on trucking, folks. Keep on moving. People were created to be loved. Things were created to be used. But for some reason or another, we get that all twisted up and turned around. We use people, and we love things. Shouldn't be that way. When we love as God loves us, this is love. We are to love those who are sinners. Is there anyone in here this morning that's not a sinner? Well, we're the ones we're talking about. We are to love each other because we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are perfect. The Bible never speaks in terms of anyone ever reaching perfection or spiritual maturity that says, I am everything that God has asked me to be. No, just not true. Romans 8 said he commends us with his love. Not because we were baptized, not because we repented of our sins, but because we were sinners in need of a Savior. He loved us. Sometimes it is difficult to move people to do the right thing. Y'all agree with that? Amen? Yeah. It's hard to move people, isn't it? It is. It's hard to get them off of home base. Sometimes it's hard to move Christians, isn't it? It really is. Sometimes it's hard to get them in another pew. Have you ever noticed that? Honestly, if some people come in and visitors maybe are sitting in your pew, it ruins your whole day. I'm wiped out. They got my seat. And that's the way they look at it. You know what you do if that happens? Get another pew. We should say, I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. The Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. Doesn't mean he doesn't love them. But God demonstrates his love toward us. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. As Christians, we have to demonstrate our love for the hurting, for the downtrodden, for our brethren, for those who are hurting very, very deeply, maybe emotionally or spiritually. And when we do, this is love. And I'll tell you, it's not until. We must love the erring Christian. That's a tough one, isn't it? We have people that are erring. Jesus said in his day he did. He said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Did he love the erring? Absolutely. Should we love the erring as well? Sure. We better. We need to understand what that really means. Well, let's go to the book of Galatians 6 and verse 1. Paul says, brothers and sisters, he says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore such a person very, listen to this, gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. You ever heard people say, well, if this is what I would do if it were me? No, I don't believe that. Or I would do this. I don't know why they did this. That's wrong. And you know what? I just would never, ever do that. You wouldn't? Wait till you fall into such a dilemma. You will find that what you thought was what you would have done is not what you would do. That's why Paul says if someone's caught in a particular sin, you who live by the Spirit, or those who are spiritually minded, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. For the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 40 and verse 29, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases their strength. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. Can God really help me? People find themselves in that type of situation all the time, and they feel that they are so deep state that there's no way out. And they ask questions like this, can God really help me? The answer to that is absolutely. And not only absolutely, He wants to do it. Romans 15 and 1 now, He speaks to the church about the fact that when we are sinners, He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Do you ever go around bearing the infirmities of the weak? Do you even know, or are you cognizant enough to even know who the weak are? Are we so detached from one another we don't know they're weak? We may be the weak. You may have the weak trying to influence the strong instead of the other way around. But those who are strong need to help the weak. That's what Paul says. And in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of our Lord that says, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Acts 20 and verse 35. You see, when you love someone, you respect them. We should respect the elderly when we're young. We should help the weak when we're strong. We should admit our mistakes when we are wrong, because one day you will grow old and you will become weak. And you'll expect others to show you respect. Now that's love. That is love. That's what it's all about. I'll say it again. That's love. And it only becomes love when you practice it. Love your family. You love your family? Sure we do. Say we do. Hope we do. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wife. Love the church. He said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction or the nurturing of the Lord our God. And then to children, he says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. And when we do that, that is love. That is love. Now, down to the nitty-gritty. How many of you have enemies? A few hands are going up. They're looking to see if anybody else is raising theirs. I said this to an old gentleman one time who was about 95. I said, you love your enemies? He said, preacher, I don't have any enemies. I said, you don't? He said, nope, I've outlived them all. You may or you may not have enemies. I don't know. But I know one thing, that Christ says in Matthew 5, 44 and 45, that we are to love our enemies and pray for them, listen to this, that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you, even when they do it falsely. That's what he says. You love your enemies. Does that mean you love the action of the enemy? No. You love his sin? No, you love the sinner. That's what Jesus said in Luke 6 and 35, but love your enemies and do good to them and lend without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be the children of the Most High. He says, because he is kind to the ungrateful and even wicked. Love for all. And hatred for none. And only people with whom you should try to get even are those who do good for you and those who help you. And how soon we forget. When we do, this is love. Jesus taught that love is superlative. It supersedes all the other commands that God has given unto us. And I ask you this morning, is God first in your life, or is he second? You see, if Jesus takes second place, he takes no place at all. If he isn't Lord above all, he is not Lord at all. And when you're going through something that's very difficult and hard, and you wonder where God is, remember that a teacher does not leave the room when you are being tested. Chloe was telling me the other day she was having to take a test. She's going to school at Sam Houston State. And she said, I have to film me taking this test so they know that no one else is in the room. You know, when we were all in school, either high school or the university, we know that the teacher did not leave the room. That teacher stayed right there. And you know what? When we're going through a test in life, listen, there's one who will not leave you, and that's our Lord. He never leaves the room. Never. Not when you're taking a test or undergoing it. And Paul quoted Jesus in the book of Hebrews 13:5, who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be there with you. And if you love me, if you love me, we've been talking about how we love the brethren and love God. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 15 and verse 4. We become what we love. And who we love shapes what we become. That's why you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you take time for God. You take time to pray to him, talk to him. You take time to let him talk to you through his word. That's love. But Jesus, what would you do about immigration? A lot of people say, well, you close the border, and that's not showing love. It's not. Well, did you realize that even heaven has a wall, a gate, and there is extreme vetting to get in? There is. That doesn't mean you don't love people. You will never have the strength to take the action of love until you get connected with God. Many of us are like a puzzle piece over here, and the puzzle's over here. All the pieces are in except you. Get connected to God. David said, Oh Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts. Psalm 139 and verse 23. Is your hand in the hand of God this morning? That's what love is. And obedience is the language of love. So I ask you this morning, do you really love God with all of your heart. I told you I always liked Valentine. I always like to use this illustration because it signifies to me what love is. Red roses were her favorite. Her name was also Rose. And every year her husband sent them tied with pretty bows. The year he died, the roses were delivered to her door. And the card said, "Be my Valentine," like all the years before. Each year he sent her roses, and the note would always say, "I love you even more this year than last year on this day. My love for you will always grow with every passing year." She knew that this was the last time that the roses would appear. She thought he ordered roses in advance before this day. Her husband, her loving husband, did not know that he would pass away. He always liked to do things early, way before the time. And then if he got too busy, well, everything would work out just fine. She trimmed the stems and placed them in a very special vase and set the vase by the portrait of her husband's smiling face. She would sit for hours in her husband's favorite chair while staring at his picture and the roses sitting there. A year went by, and it was hard to live without her mate, with loneliness and solitude that had become her fate. Then the very hour on Valentine before, the doorbell rang, and there were roses sitting at the door. She brought the roses in and just looked at them in shock, then went to get the telephone to call the florist shop. The owner answered as she asked if he would explain why someone would do this to her, causing her such pain. "I know your husband passed away more than a year ago," the owner said. "I knew you'd call and that you'd want to know. The flowers you received today were paid for in advance. Your husband always planned ahead. You see, he left nothing to chance. There is a standing order that I have on file down here, and he has paid well in advance, and you will get them every year. I want you to be happy even when you shed your tears, and that is why the roses will be sent to you for years. Then should ever I find out that he's no longer here, that's the card that should be sent to you the following year." She thanked him and hung up the phone. Her tears were flowing hard, her fingers shaking as she slowly reached to get the card. Inside the card, she saw that he had written a note. Then as she stared in total silence, this is what he wrote. "Hello, my love. I know it's been a year. I've been gone. I hope it hasn't been too hard for you to overcome. I know it must be lonely and the pain is very real. For if it was the other way, I know how I would feel. The love we shared made everything beautiful in life. I've loved you more than words could say, for you were the perfect wife. You were my friend and lover, and you fulfilled my every need. And I know it's only been a year, but please try not to grieve. I've always loved you, and I know that I always will. But my love, you must go on living, for you have living still. Please try to find happiness while living out your days. I know it is not easy, but I hope you'll find the way. The roses will come every year, and they will only stop when your door's not answered and the florist stops to knock. He will come 5 times that day in case you have gone out, but after his last visit, he will know without a doubt to take the roses to the place where I've instructed him and place the roses where we are together once again." That's love. Do you love God this morning? Do you love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? If you'd like to become His child, in obedience to the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, then you can do that. Others have been baptized recently, one last Lord's Day. Perhaps there are others here this morning who need to step out in faith and take the action of love while we stand and while we sing.